Welcome to Walton Conversations, a podcast about the issues and happenings in our community. My name is Dee Dee Harris, and I will be your host for this episode. Today, we'll be talking with Major Wade Harris of the Walton County Sheriff's Office. He is the current jail commander of the Walton County Jail. It'll be part of our larger conversation about building the new jail. Major Harris is going to be sharing with us the realities of working inside of a jail and also the state of our current jail. Full disclosure, Wade is my husband. I also want to warn you that some of the topics in this conversation may not be suitable for all audiences, so please use discretion. We hope that you'll find this conversation educational and informative. Thank you for listening and enjoy. I am here with my husband, Major Wade Harris, the jail commander at the Walton County Sheriff's Office. Hey, Wade.
Hey, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So today we're going to be talking about, obviously we're going to be talking about the jail, but this is part of a larger conversation about the building of our new jail. We are going to have a conversation with Chairman Thompson. So we kind of have the numbers part of it and the government standpoint. What I think we'd like to hear from you today is basically the realities of working in our jail. Also, just some of the issues that our current jail has. And as we know, because you're fixing to tell everybody how long you've been the jail commander, the jail conversation of building a new jail has been going on for quite some time. And Chairman Thompson talks a little bit about that. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself to everyone and just tell everybody, a brief history of your law enforcement career in Walton County.
I'm Wade Harris, and I started in Walton County in 1985. I was very fortunate in my career to start as an investigator, and I worked for the juvenile court in Walton County, and we investigated juvenile crimes that juveniles committed, also lots of neglect, family issues, so it was kind of the whole gamut of being involved in the juvenile justice system. So I left there, went to Newton County, became the chief investigator there for a little while. I came back to Walton County in 1996 and started in the jail and worked on patrol. Was on patrol for just a short period of time and had an opportunity to become a school resource officer, and I did that for several years working in the school.
What school were you at?
Loganville Middle School and high school when they were together. And then when the high school built their new high school, I stayed at the middle school. So I did that. And
we should also mention you were the wrestling coach while you were there as well.
Yes, I helped with the wrestling team and helped coach, which was a lot of fun. And that was a really fun time in my career because I was kind of in my element with kids, and I really enjoyed that. And when Sheriff Chapman became sheriff in 2005, he said he needs somebody to run the jail. And I said at the time, well, that's not really in my plan. But it has worked out, and so I've been the jail commander since 2005.
Wow. I don't think I realized it had been that long. So, quite some time. So, I want to start with just kind of letting people know some of the realities about working in our jail. You know, we're not Gwinnett County. We're not Fulton County. So, I think a lot of people may have an impression that our jail being here in Walton County doesn't have a lot of the same issues that you might find in a more urban area. Can you kind of give us a overview or just some insight, like a day in the life of one of your jail officers? Just things that maybe they don't see every single day, but they have seen, and there's the potential for them to deal with it every single day.
Well, it takes a very special person to want to work in the jail. It's even more so to stay, because most officers don't. You know, they don't want to have their career in the jail. They want to go do other things. So it is It does take a special kind of person to work in there. And they deal with suicide attempts. They deal with fights, fights with other inmates, fights with officers.
Can you give us some examples some specific examples?
I had a female officer that walked into the cell block, and a female inmate was on the phone, and it was time for her to go back to her cell, and she didn't want to do that, and so the officer said, hey, you need to go back to your room. She's talking now to another inmate, the officer is, and the female inmate that was on the phone comes up to her and punches her on the side of the face and almost knocks her out, and the female inmate actually was the first one to help her.
A different female inmate, obviously.
Was the first one to come help her. So you have situations like that. You have the suicide attempts. We're the biggest. We say that we're the biggest provider of mental health in Walton County because we have so many. And it's not uncommon for them to throw feces on the wall. Somebody's got to clean that up. So the officer has got to either be doing that or has to go into that situation to get it cleaned. Very early when I took over in the jail, I was walking down the corridor and I couldn't see because it was around a corner. I heard a scuffling. I couldn't tell what it was. When I walked around the corner, an officer was fighting with an inmate that had no clothes on. Not the officer, the inmate.
Right.
So he's really struggling with him, and the inmate's not big. He's very small. But he was so sweaty that when I was trying to help, you just couldn't get a handle on him. I mean, he was so sweaty. And the officer had already sprayed him with pepper spray, so now we're all feeling the effects of the pepper spray. So that's a whole nother issue with having to learn how to deal with inmates while you're exposed to pepper spray or anything like that. We deal with a lot of that, a lot of mental health issues. We've had officers that have had to go in where a suicide attempt has taken place, and actually have had several officers that have received valor awards for saving those inmates' lives. One was laying on the floor and had tied the bed sheet to the stool and was just rolling on the floor, tightening up the sheet as he went, and the more it tightened up, then he was unconscious, but the officer went in there and was able to save him. Then another one from the rail. I mean, we have a second story in the cell block, so there's nothing to keep that inmate from jumping over the rail or tying a bed sheet to it and trying to hang themselves. That's just a normal part of what a jail officer has to deal with every day. We're not mental health professionals, and we get suicide prevention training, but there's not a lot of training that is done on dealing with mental health issues. And so the jail is kind of stuck with, well, they're here. We do have a medical staff that we have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but...
Well, and mental health, obviously, we could have a whole another podcast and have before, because mental health resources in our community is very much lacking. So the jail does become one of the major, it's really not a provider, but a major spot or hub for a lot of our mental health issues in the county. One of the main things is to inform everyone, what is the difference between jail and prison? A lot of people don't understand that those are two different things.
Well, the simple definition is jail is short term and prison is long term. Most of the inmates that we have are what we call pretrial inmates. That means that they have not been sentenced yet. Everybody that's in prison has been sentenced. So the majority of our jail population is waiting to go to court. So that's really the simple definition of that.
So the main function of the jail is truly a holding facility.
Right.
And so after they're sentenced, if they get sentenced to prison or some other program, then That doesn't mean that they leave out of that courtroom and go directly to prison, does it?
I wish. With the pandemic especially, but even before then, it is a very long wait. I can't really give you a time frame, but I can say that we have a big part of our population that is sentenced to prison, or PDC, which is a probation detention center, RSAT, and RSAT is a substance abuse treatment that judges sentence them to. That's a very long wait. Before the pandemic, it was, for females, it was about 8 months.
Wait. So they get sentenced in court, whether that's to prison or to a program, and then they come back to the Walton County Jail.
Right.
And so then a lot of the inmates in the Walton County Jail are not just waiting to go to trial or to be seen in front of a judge. Now there's also a large population that are waiting. They've already been sentenced, and they're waiting to go to their next stop, so right. to speak.
Yes. People are under the misconception that they go straight to prison. They do not. With the pandemic last year, it was, at one time we were holding 110 inmates that were sentenced to prison. So it's...
Because the prison said, because of the pandemic, we are not taking anyone.
Right,
however, crimes were still being committed. People were still being arrested. The jail doesn't have the option to say, we're not taking anyone, correct?
Right. Yeah, and I actually talked to DOC and I asked them...
DOC is...
It's Department of Corrections. You know, we were calling because we had so many inmates sentenced to prison. We understand that because of coronavirus, y'all are saying you're not accepting people because you don't want an outbreak, but we don't get that luxury of saying, well, don't arrest people because of coronavirus. It wasn't an option for us. I mean, people still got arrested, as you said. They still came to jail, and at that time, we were able to somewhat quarantine them or isolate them, but now we do not have the space. Those inmates that are sentenced, that are just sitting there, they're taking up that bed space for people that are coming in.
Right.
So, of course, we want them to go as quickly as we can, but so do all the other jails in Georgia. And usually the priorities are your bigger counties.
Right.
You know, Fulton, DeKalb, Cobb, Gwinnett, those usually get the priority over Walton County.
So I know you said our jail is a medium-sized jail. Can you put that in some kind of perspective for us? And then that will lead us into your entire population doesn't necessarily mean that they're all housed at the Walton County Jail. So what is the average daily population?
The last time we did that average was about 470.
And is that average?
Well, just to give you the perspective on that, when I started in 2005 in the jail, the average daily population was 325.
Okay.
We have, the jail was built 376 beds when they added on the section in 2004. They finished it right at the end of 2004. And so there was 376 beds. One of the cell blocks, we were able to double bunk it. And by that, I mean we were able to put in each room, there was just a single bed in there. And there was enough room because you have to go by the jail standards for the room to accommodate if you're going to put another bunk in there. So, of course, it was a bunk bed. And so we were able to do that.
Does that mean there's four beds per cell?
No.
That means two.
There was, right. So that cell only had a single bunk in each room, and there were eight rooms. When the jail was first built in 1988, that was where the females were housed. There were only eight beds. So we double bunked that to add eight more beds in addition to the eight single beds. So we have 384 beds. And we have, you know, if you're averaging like on the grounds at the jail, 478 inmates, that's, well, do the math.
So when you say 384 beds, that means actual beds. That doesn't mean people with mats on the floor.
Right.
So with 470 population, where are those other people?
Well, we call them boats, and it's a bed, it's a portable bed that we put in with cells that can accommodate that, which most of that.
So that is like a cot?
Right.
Okay.
We call it a boat. And they put the mattress on the boat, and there's usually, now you got three to a room. And so.
How many boats can you have in a cell?
Only
is there
one.
A legal, I mean, there's like a standard, right? You can't have 50 people in a cell.
Right. In the part where the inmates are, it's the part that they built on in 2004. Those cells are big enough by standards, by Georgia jail standards, that it can accommodate that. Not all the cell blocks can accommodate that.
Right.
So, and then you have, you know, we have one.
Can accommodate an extra cot.
Right.
So that's what you're saying. Some of the cells are too small for even putting a boat in them.
It's important for people to understand how classification works. And how that works is, let's say that somebody gets arrested for DUI. Well, that's a minimum charge. It's not a, and classification works with minimum, medium, and maximum security. So if that person comes in and they're arrested for DUI, and that's all they have,
they have no history,
then they will go into a minimum security cell. So we have an open dorm where there's just several bunks in a room, in a big room. And then you have individual cells where inmates with that same classification can be housed. So you have a variety of that. The jail can get in lots of trouble with, you can't put a minimum security inmate with a maximum security inmate. You cannot do that.
So this is basically where you're saying that not all beds are created equal.
Right.
So just because you have 384 beds available, that doesn't mean that those are available for any inmate that comes in.
That's right. The jail can get in a lot of trouble with, you know, you putting a minimum security inmate with a maximum security. That's really it. You can put minimum and medium together, and you can put medium and maximum inmates together. And what goes into that, just besides their charge, is their history. What they've done in the past. We have to run a criminal history on them. And if they've got an extensive criminal history with, say, violent crimes, then more than likely they're going to go in maximum security. So,
or if they had an escape or something like that.
Well, automatically they go into maximum security if they've had an escape. And that doesn't allow that inmate to be on any kind of work detail if he could work outside. Because I know probably people have seen inmates that are working, maybe picking up trash, cutting grass, doing those kind of things, that those inmates, their classification will allow them to be able to do that kind of work. But most of the inmates, they do clean. I mean, they clean their cells and they...
And you provide them with the supplies to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know, we try to make it simple. You know, it's like, okay, first thing you do is wipe everything down. Sweep everything out, and then mop.
So going back to the bed issue, you had said you have these boats, and there's certain cells that you can put an extra person in there. But then what happens when you can't put inmates together? Maybe there's minimum and maximum, and you don't have any space.
Well,
so what do you do then?
We do have inmates that are housed out in, we use Oglethorpe County.
We have to pay for that, correct?
Right. $35 a day. Now, the inmates that we send there are, most of them are state-sentenced inmates. So we do get reimbursed somewhat from the state for having to house their inmate. The prison has a grace period of 15 days. And so we're still responsible for that inmate until that 16th day. And
you mean, so basically for those 15 days, you're not get reimbursed.
That's right. And if
it's not until after that, that the state starts to reimburse the county.
Right.
Otherwise it's coming out of the taxpayer's pocket.
But so people know, because this is really important, that inmate has to go to the hospital. Well, There's nobody from the state that's coming to sit on that inmate. We have to send our officer. And that has to be a deputy sheriff. In other words, they have to be a certified officer to go sit at the hospital with that inmate. Well, if that inmate is in there for 3 days, that officer is making overtime. So, because we're 15 people short right now. There's a lot more to it than just saying, well, you get $30 a day, because the cost is a lot more.
The cost is much more.
Well, it costs $50, over $50 a day to house an inmate.
The jail is required by law to provide a lot of different things for different inmates. Can you talk to us a little bit about those requirements that you are required by law to provide for inmates, maybe if it's religious, sexual orientation, disabled, anything like that?
All the above applies. Transgender has become a more prevalent situation with us. We used to not see that very often, and now we see it quite often. They called me on a Saturday and said that we had a transgender inmate that was in transition from female to male. Mm-hmm. And she had already been through she had her breasts removed. She was taking hormones. She had facial hair. She had a beard. I actually sat down with that inmate, and I was mainly concerned about how providing the space in jail, where do you put a transgender inmate? It does present a very unique situation. So the new jail, hopefully you will be able to better accommodate those kind of situations, because if they haven't reached as far as this particular inmate in the process, where do they go? You have to think about
the potential risks to them.
The sexual assault.
Right.
It doesn't matter what gender you are at this point, because if you assault another inmate sexually, it doesn't matter if you're male or female.
In our current jail, how do you deal with that? You do not have, because transgender is just a piece of that pie. There's also gangs, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
That you need to segregate.
Well, that
people?
Is the gang is really more of an issue than the transgender. It is an issue because of the uniqueness of it. The problem with the gang segregation is that we're so limited on space that if you have rival gang members in the same cell block, that's a recipe for disaster.
And we do have that in Walton County, am I right?
Well, Walton County doesn't have a bubble over it. So,
I think a lot of people might be surprised to learn that there are gang issues in Walton County, but they're definitely in our jail.
Yeah. Like I said, Walton County is not unique to not having gang members that are living in Walton County. It happens everywhere, even in your small counties that have very small jails. But that presents more of an issue for us because of you don't want to put two gang members in there that are rival. And you really don't want gang members there of the same gang for plotting something. It makes there's just all sorts of things that we're having to deal with right now because of the limited space. So in cell block 12, for example, that's where maximum security inmates are. But we're so limited on space that we have sections of inmates that come out together. So, for example,
for recreation, and that's what you're talking
right,
about.
Right. They have their recreation time, so they come out, and we put the people that are charged with murder, we try to let them all come out together. People that are charged with child molestation, they come out together. Because we've had assaults where, you know, somebody that's charged with a different crime than child molestation, we have to try to prevent those things when we can. We also have inmates that are what we call PC, which is protective custody. That is a whole nother issue, because where do we put them? They feeling threatened by another inmate. We try to move those inmates to a location where they are not for the potential for being assaulted or something like that. So that's reality in jail. That's an everyday thing.
So going back to really thinking about all of the requirements that the jail, and I feel like probably in this conversation we've only just hit the tip of the iceberg as far as all the legalities that go into the requirements of what you have to provide. But can you speak briefly to the medical and some of the issues that come up with the medical? Because that is one of the largest expenses, am I correct, in running the jail?
Right. Well, we contract with a company. Correct Health is the company that we contract with. And, of course, since the pandemic, they are in a struggle with hiring. I just had a conversation with the doctor that owns Correct Health, and he said, I'm losing nurses to making $185 an hour. He said, I can't compete with that. But inmates are provided, you know, they fill out a medical slip, and they turn it in, and the nurse, the medical staff sets him up for an appointment, just like you would if you were on the outside.
So what is a medical slip?
Well, they do it on a kiosk machine. Most everything now we do is on a kiosk machine where they type in, you know, their name and, you know, what's wrong with them.
So it's like a request.
Right. It's an inmate request.
Okay.
For medical.
So I've been having chest pains, or I have this weird bump that came up on my arm. Anything just like on the outside, something that you would go to the doctor for?
Anything. And if our medical staff can't handle that situation, or if it's an emergency situation, then it's not uncommon to send them to the ER, to the hospital. We also, the amount of medical transports that we've had to do outside of the facility is gone up significantly. I mean, I was just looking on our board in central control, and there were 6 envelopes in there for medical transport. That means that 6 inmates are going out
right.
for doctor's appointments. So that means now I got to get an officer to transport that inmate. And depending on what their charge is, there may have to be 2 inmates. I mean, 2 officers for that inmate.
Is it true that in the past you've actually had some inmates turn themselves in because they had a medical issue and they wanted to get it seen about? Maybe they don't have insurance or something, so they've actually come to jail for the purposes of getting well?
I would say that is not uncommon.
So as far as thinking about when we were talking about segregated populations or whatever, you currently don't really have space for sick inmates either that maybe aren't going to be at a hospital, but yet they can't be in a regular cell.
Right. We do have medical isolation cells, but we only have 4. So again, if my population is going back to the, like today, our inmate population was 521. Well, not all 521 are there. We have some housed in Oglethorpe, but we're responsible for those inmates. For example, if one of those inmates in Oglethorpe County has to go to the hospital, we have to send somebody to sit on him. He's our inmate. So we have other inmates that may be in Augusta at the mental hospital. They haven't gone to court yet, but they are. A court order may have been done on that person to have an evaluation done, so they're not physically at our location. The district attorney's office, in several cases where there's multiple offenders on the same crime, then, you know, they may want them segregated so they can not communicate with each other.
Right.
It makes it more difficult for them to do that. So that's not uncommon at all. Other jails deal with that too, because and we have a pretty good relationship with some of the surrounding counties that if we need to house an inmate because of that situation, then they will accommodate us.
So let's go to the conversation about the new jail. I think we've set the stage pretty well for people to kind of understand what's happening in our jail on a regular basis, day to day. And I think you told us that the original jail was built in 1988.
Right.
And then there was an addition put on in what year?
2004.
Okay, so 2004. And the population has gone up since you've taken over the jail. How much did you say?
Well, again, when I started in 2005, it was 325 inmates.
Okay.
And we're now at 521. So...
Now, a minute ago, you stated that it was 400 and something.
Well, physically, at the jail, you have 400.
Okay, so you're talking about people that belong to the Walton County Jail, whether they're physically in Walton County or not. So the ones that might be at Oglethorpe or
that's,
somewhere else.
That's why we give the number, the 521, because we're responsible for all those inmates. If an inmate in Augusta is ready to be released, we got to go get them and bring them back here.
Okay. So the population of the jail today, let's say 521, that doesn't mean they're all physically housed there. However, you have at least, you know, around 100 more than actual beds that you have. But then obviously we know not all beds are created equal either. So thinking about the jail and the way that it is now, I know that the design of the jail, it wasn't really designed by a company that designed jails. So can you just describe some of the issues with the current design and also with the age?
When it was built in 1988, they did, and it was state of the art, the way it was designed. And the way that they were able to do, especially the cell blocks, that's what we call them. A lot of people call them pods, but we call them cell blocks. So when they built the addition in 2004, what I was told is their design was after Clayton County. Well, as time went on, it became apparent that it was nothing like Clayton County's design. There's blind spots in the cell. It's the tower itself is enormous, and that's a lot of wasted space. When I took over in the jail, the sheriff and I went back there, and I said, this is a nightmare for officers and for inmates, but mainly for officers, because the jail is a dangerous place to work anyway. But how you build it and how you design it makes a huge difference on the day-to-day operations of officer safety, being able to see looking at from the tower, looking into the cell block. If you are in the tower now, in Tower 3, where that was built on in 2004, they can't see the officer unless they stand up and go over to the window.
Right.
So that is huge. And for a lot of people that don't know about, you know, like moving inmates, your risk factor is always at a certain level in the jail. When you move inmates, then that risk goes up as you move. So if you start moving them out of the facility, then you are at the height of the potential for something bad to really happen. So not to mention all the stuff that you have to deal with, that the officers have to deal with in the cell.
Right.
So fights are not uncommon. So.
And staff, as you, the more often that you have to move inmates, does that not require more staff?
Oh, yeah, it's very taxing on staff. Like now we have video visitation, which most jails have some type of video visitation.
Oh, so does that replace physical?
Right. So it doesn't replace an attorney.
Right.
We do have that set up. And actually, if anything good came out of the pandemic was that, you know, attorneys, especially public defenders, we were able to set up video
consultations
without having to come to the jail. And so, which we like that because the jail is such a high-risk area for coronavirus anyway.
Right.
And so the less traffic, the better it is for us. So,
with visitation, now all visitation is done via digital,
right?
Video.
Yeah. We have a kiosk that is dedicated to that in each cell. The inmates can go, and they have a certain amount of time, and they can do it every day.
And wasn't visitation through a phone and a glass a barrier between the two? It's not like they were able to hold hands or touch or hug or anything like that.
Right.
So in thoughts about the current, the aging of the jail, Can you speak a little bit to the air conditioning, the heating and air system? Because I do
you really want to ask me about that air conditioning?
Well, I do know that that has caused some issues and threats of lawsuits and stuff from inmates because the air conditioning often goes out.
Yeah.
Do you know off the top of your head how much money has been spent over the last few times?
I don't have a dollar figure for you, but it's quite extensive because the problem is because the jail is so old that the pipes, they may fix one section. And so they go, okay, we got this working. Well, now this section of the pipe, because it has pinholes in it, now it is, because it's on a chiller. So there's water running through that. Well, now these pipes have gotten so old, they just fix it as it breaks. I mean, I have two maintenance men for the whole sheriff's office, including the jail. 3 or 4 years ago, we had to rip up the whole floor in the kitchen. That took months because the pipes were just disintegrating. And we had to dig up the whole floor in the kitchen. Well, that meant that we had to move the kitchen.
Could you tell us, why do we need a new jail?
Well, it'll allow us to be able to accommodate the amount of inmates that we have. You don't build the jail for 500 inmates. We have that now. But it also allows us to better segregate or separate those inmates that need to be separated. With the medical section, most jails now, and we will have this, it will have an infirmary, which that means that the infirmary will be able to better accommodate the inmate as far as not having to send them out to the ER for things that they could maybe take care of in the infirmary.
So that would be less
training. So it's kind of you increase the ability for the medical to better accommodate the inmate.
Do you think a new jail will enable you to better hire people and retain officers?
I think it'll help, but to be honest with you, I think that there are so many, more and more people are looking at, why do I want to work in the jail?
I would say more and more people are probably looking at, why do I want to be in law enforcement, period.
Right. And I think that a lot of that has to do with social media. I think a lot of it has to do with the media, period. I'm not here to say that officers don't do bad things. They do. We have really good staff. I mean, they work hard. They're working so much overtime right now. They're just tired. They are burnout. Oftentimes, we call them in on their off day. They're just tired. So that's why I said from the beginning, it takes a special kind of person to work in the jail and a special kind of person to stay in the jail.
Well, I want to thank you, Major Harris,
all right.
for giving us a lot of things to think about and to understand better what happens in the jail and maybe put a little bit more perspective on this general conversation about building a new jail. So thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.